You are listening to the eReal Estate Coach Podcast, featuring RealTrends top 500 broker, Jim Remley. On this show, we interview interesting people in the real estate industry to help agents, broker owners, and team leaders accelerate their performance.
Hey guys, I am super stoked. We've got Jess Lenall back on the show, and she is from the Listings Lab. So she has not only been an amazing superstar herself, she's also a coach, an author. She's a great speaker. I just caught her at the Real Estate Success Summit where we were both speaking a couple weeks ago. So she crushed it on stage, and she's just got a great message for, I think, all of us to kind of listen to. So Jess, welcome back.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. So we were talking before the show, and you had such an amazing, I don't know, it was about an hour worth of material. I took a ton of notes, but one of the things you talked about was 10 to 15 gaining. How do you get 10 to 15 clients out of social media? Because I think a lot of people just say, you know, social media is great, but I don't feel like I'm getting anything out of it really.
I agree. I think a lot of people just post on social media to post because they think that they need to show up and they need to at least be present. It's kind of like having a website for a lot of agents, right? They're like, I need to have an Instagram account or I need to have a Facebook business page, but I don't actually get anything from it. It's just there to be there.
Right.
And I say this all the time that people, like, doesn't matter if you have a Facebook profile, like a personal Facebook profile, you likely have 10 to 15 clients just sitting in your warm social media network at any one time. It's just that it requires marketing. It requires messaging. It requires like thinking about marketing in a different way than most people have been thinking about marketing in real estate for the last 30 years. And it all really comes down fundamentally to psychology. And that's what marketing is. But for some reason in real estate, we got super off track at some point. Yeah. And we started looking at all marketing as billboards. And so often people are posting on social media and social media at the end of the day is just a social network, right? But people aren't being social on the social network. They're being promote-y and salesy and treating it like a billboard and then complaining that they're not getting clients from it. So it's just that they're actually not using marketing and psychology and the platforms the way that they're intended. And you can be super successful. We have agents that we've worked with that have businesses that generate $300-400 million in volume a year from organic social media across three platforms. And that's not, it's by no means impossible. A tremendous amount of my business comes from organic social media. And it's because we are actually using it the way that it's intended to be used. And we're treating it and using it like marketers, as opposed to just like salespeople.
Because I think a lot of realtors, it's very much vanity marketing, a lot of vanity there, right?
So I'm just, look at me marketing.
Let me show you everything I'm doing here today.
What's
your approach? Is it just more conversational or more authentic?
Our approach, so we use a 9-point psychological journey from stranger to client. So there's 9 different pieces that need to be touched in order to get inbound business. And that's the thing with social media is that, you know, if you're cold calling or you're door knocking or whatever you're doing, that in my opinion is, I consider traditional marketing. Old school is another way, but some people hate when I use that because it has a tone to it. But a lot of the time when you're doing those forms of marketing, they're not really marketing, you're prospecting. And so those manual prospecting efforts are outbound. You're outbound chasing, you're outbound prospecting. Everything that we do when it comes to digital marketing and social media is all inbound. So it's attraction versus chase. So when you want to create attraction and inbound, you have to nail the psychology. Otherwise, you might get somebody 75% there, but if that 25% doesn't hit or doesn't land, you're never going to get that inbound message saying, hey, I've seen your stuff, I'm ready to work with you. So you have to hit, you really have to hit the psychology really well. You have to understand it really well, and it has to break through the noise and it has to land with the person that it's meant to attract. So the first thing that we do when we're talking about any kind of marketing. It doesn't really matter what kind of marketing we're talking anymore. The first thing that we do is choose a target demographic. So who is this for?
Yeah.
And I would say that 90% of agents are creating social media content for other agents without realizing it.
Totally agree.
Because they're posting things and reposting things that resonates with them, yeah. But they're not their ideal client.
Right.
The broke agent, hilarious. Yes. Does not belong on someone in real estate trying to attract clients. And it doesn't belong on their account because that's not who it's intended for.
Right.
It's intended for agents. And if you're trying to attract agents, then great. But if you're trying to attract actual like clients from your social media, then you have to make sure that it's not about what you want to say. It's about what they want to hear or what they need to hear. And that's really where you take off your real estate hat and you put on your marketing hat. Mm-hmm. And that's how you kind of differentiate who is this content for. So traditionally, we've always choose target demographics or niches based on geolocation in real estate. And geolocation made a lot of sense in the 70s, the 80s, and the 90s before we really had the internet, because it was the only way to be consistent and frequent. Mm-hmm. And in order to stay top of mind, you have to be consistent and frequent. Sure. And so what happened was we had to do it manually. Again, cold calling, door knocking, flyers, billboards, geofarming,
right?
And then this beautiful tool, this beautiful thing called the internet came to be. And now we have the ability to target a lot more effectively. Hmm. So what we get to use is we couldn't use really good psychology when we were geofarming, because in any zip code or postal code or location, you can have upsizers, downsizers, first-time buyers, investors, like all in a 2-block radius.
Right.
But now what we get to do is using that psychology, because psychology requires a human-based niche. We get to expand the area a little bit and then narrow down on the human or the life transition. And it's real estate's all about humans moving. It's not about property.
Yeah.
Right. And so people make decisions emotionally before they make them logically.
Right. Life change. Right?
Life change. People don't downsize because they want a smaller house. They downsize because there's things about taking care of a bigger house that they don't want anymore.
Right.
Their life has evolved past that. We move because there's something in our current situation that isn't correct or isn't serving us anymore. Mm-hmm. And we believe that a move is going to make our lives better and easier.
Yeah. So let me ask you a question. When you're talking about a lot organic versus paid, do you have a combination of both for your coaching clients, or do you recommend just organic?
It's both. So organic first.
Okay.
If you're not generating 3 to 10 deals a month from your organic, you're not ready to run paid traffic.
Okay.
Because there's so many people that are just throwing spaghetti at the wall.
Yeah.
Right. They're like, I'm running Facebook ads and my Facebook ads don't work for me. Well, it's like, Facebook ads don't work for you, or you haven't done the work to actually make your Facebook ads work.
Right.
Facebook ads are a complex monster, and you can't just take a picture of your business card and boost it and expect that that's going to generate you business. And there's a lot of agents who are going about Facebook marketing that way. And then they get frustrated, and then they waste money, and then they make an assumption that the entire platform isn't for them.
Mm-hmm.
When the truth really is you have to nail all of these things, all of these steps along the way. And then once you've vetted the message, you know that it's working, you have inbound clients coming organically, then you're like, okay, great. This is vetted. This works. This is solid. Now I'm ready to put money behind the message that I already know is effective.
Gotcha. Okay.
So our approach to paid traffic is very different than a lot of people, because I don't like wasting people's money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would rather that you really refine the message and make sure that it's going to work. And then it doesn't even have to be a lot of money. Like you put, $500 a month behind that message, and then you generate however many clients, and then you reinvest back, and then you increase your budget slowly. so that we're doing things in a systematic, data-driven way.
Right.
As opposed to, well, I spent $10,000 in 1 month on Facebook ads on a message that wasn't tested.
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah.
And now I have no more marketing budget.
Now you're done.
Yeah. Yeah. So it starts with niching down in terms of like a human demographic. So upsizers, downsizers, first-time buyers, dog owners, like something that, like a group of people that have something in common and are moving for a common reason.
Gotcha. Okay.
Then we get to market research, which people hate to do, mm-hmm. but the message comes from the market. The message doesn't come from us. We're people who are in real estate don't realize how fundamentally different you become once you get a real estate license. It's like all of a sudden you become like a real estate robot and uh-huh. you can't like empathize with anybody. It's just about the deal. So right. we have to go back to the marketplace, and especially because the market's different than it was a year ago, yeah. drastically different.
Yeah.
So the messaging that we were using a year ago probably isn't going to resonate the same way today. So again, it comes back to, are you asking the right questions? Are you understanding the pains, problems, fears, and desires of the market that you're trying to attract? And that becomes your psychological framework for everything that you need. So the 9 points, I'll list them. Mm-hmm. They're not as easy to understand, but you have to nail each of them. It would take me an entire, like probably 2 hours to like fully go through this in detail. But if anybody listening here wants like a full framework, I'm also happy to give it to you. But we start with pain. Then we go to problem, stakes and consequences, your story and qualifications, your signature process, proof, objection handling, vision, and then action. So those are the 9 psychological steps that we have to hit in order for something to work. Now, once we map the psychology, yeah.
Are you doing that in like a sequence of posts, or are they, some posts have multiple
Yes. So each, you'll have one piece of content that hits each of these things. Now you need to be able to nurture people. If you're catching people early enough, you're probably going to want to nurture them for at least 3 months for them to be fully inbound. Yes. You will always have people that after 2 weeks, they start to drop and yeah. they're like, yeah, I'm ready to go. I've been, you know, I've seen a week of your content and like, you're my person. But the average person who is in this market is dealing with a little bit more fear. Mm-hmm. Fear of making a mistake, fear of making the wrong decision. So because of that, the trust is a little bit more difficult to build in a market like this. Mm-hmm. So when we're really talking about building that element of like the know, like, and trust, mm-hmm. sometimes we just have to be a little bit more patient in the beginning. So it may take, yes, you will always have those people who within the first month start dropping. But for the compound to really start, for people to really start getting comfortable and for you to get those, oh my gosh, I feel like I already know you messages, it's going to take a little bit more love
gotcha.
Than normal. Yeah. And then there's content for each of those psychological pieces. There's content that corresponds with it, right? So like under proof, we have, there's 3 different kinds of proof content. There's case studies, testimonials, and PR. So you then can play with your content mix mm-hmm. that you're using. But again, it all starts with niching down. I'm Canadian, so we say niche. niching down, and then nailing the messaging. So mapping out those 9 points based on the answers that you're getting from your ideal clients. Mm-hmm. And then from there, turning that into content. So if we're going to simplify content,
yeah.
authority content, personal content, social proof. Mm-hmm. So those are your 3 buckets that you have to hit. And then if you do that, let's say you go 30%, 30%, 30%. Mm-hmm. And then you've got an extra 10% just to play with, like whatever's working. Please know just listed, just sold. They're the bane of my existence. I really think that we're 2023. We're past the point of showing people we have business to get more business.
Right.
Right. I think you said this really well earlier. You said like, there's just so, I don't know exactly what the words you used, but like, there's just so much like self promotion and
vanity,
like just
the
vanity, the brag, the humble bragging. I just feel like we're past that. And honestly, people just don't resonate with it. I had somebody the other day who said, you know, you're always poo-pooing on Just Listed, Just Sold content, but I got 3 deals last year from my Just Listed, Just Sold content. I was like, great. What if you got 3 deals a month?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, I think that we're talking about 2 different things. Mm-hmm. We're talking 2 different languages. If you are 100% cool getting 3 deals a year from your social media, go and do whatever it is that you're doing, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But if you want better quality clients and better relationships and more volume of business coming from social media, then that's not going to do it.
Right. So when you're doing your, you got your niche and you got your 9 posts and your style of posts that you're talking about. And do you put these out in a sequence? Then are you saying, okay, I'm going to launch this and it's going to be, you know, one every other day, or am I not thinking about this right at all?
Yeah, no. So that's a really good question. I do suggest, and the algorithm loves if you post every day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for a lot of people, that seems like a tremendous amount of work, but over time it becomes really easy. Like, we have people who we've been working with who can have an idea, pick up their phone, look at their phone, talk into their phone for 30 seconds. They have a piece of content. Right. Yeah. It doesn't have to be like, once you nail the psychology and you really understand it, then the actual content creation becomes a lot easier because you're not sitting and thinking, I don't know what to say and I don't know how to say it and I don't know what people, because literally it's just so clear and you have a map.
Right.
Right. And again, it comes back down to, you've done the foundational work to make that part easier. It becomes, social media is really overwhelming and hard if you don't know what to say or who you're talking to or what they need to hear from you.
Right.
Because literally everything that you're doing is you're guessing.
So, and I guess to put this in perspective, if I've got these 9 or 10 pieces of content I put out, you know, people might enter the chain in the middle of it, but they'll eventually get the sequence, right?
Because exactly. And it's not just 9 posts, right? Like, it's 9. Like, there's 9 types of content, but again, like, someone may need to see 60, 70 unique pieces of content from you.
Right.
Somebody else will go on your profile and will binge your content and will call you in 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Got
right.
It.
People consume content in different ways depending on where they are in their own journey. Mm-hmm. If somebody is like really hot to trot, like they're ready to go, they're looking for who they want to call, and they go and they land on your profile, they may binge for 2 hours and then call you 2 hours later. And you'll be like, oh, how long have you been following me? 2 hours. And you're like, wow. But then there's going to be someone else who's like, oh, I've been following you for 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And I've been following you for 6 months. And like, I've been seeing all your stuff and I feel like I know you. I feel like we're best friends. It's a different people require different levels of nurturing. And I think sometimes we try to categorize people too much. But right. We all make decisions a little differently.
Mm-hmm. Now, are you platform specific? Are you encouraging people Instagram, Facebook, TikTok? I mean, where are you at?
It depends on what niche they choose or what niche they choose, right? So like, we want to go and we want to dominate the platform that their ideal clients spend the most time on.
Gotcha.
Right? Okay. It's kind of like downsizers or retirees or seniors. If that's not your thing, if that's your niche, why are you creating content on LinkedIn?
Right, right.
Right? Like, let's focus on like where those people actually are spending their time. The number one question I get is, do I have to be on TikTok? And because people are like, I don't want to be on TikTok. I don't want to do all the things on TikTok. And my answer to them is, I don't know. I don't know if you need to be on TikTok. First, we need to have the conversation of who you're targeting.
Right. That makes total sense. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. When you're putting together this content as an agent, I'm following you.
Yeah.
I'm going to follow what Jess tells me to do. And I'm putting together this content. Is it a situation where I'm going to have multiple niches and I'm saying, hey, I'm going to do 2 or 3, or do you say, no, you need to
just
one at a time.
Or we need to choose one that is going to, I say this all the time to people, right? I'm like, you do not need 6,000 deals this year.
Right.
Right. And that's what creates that, this feeling of like, oh, I'm going to lose business if I niche down. People are going to think that I won't work with them. Your repeat and referral business is not going anywhere.
Mm.
It is what it is. You're going to continue to have that. You can have that be your icing.
Yeah.
I'm talking about like, let's bake this cake that this icing is going to sit on top of, so that when the market shifts, when things are funky, you can sit back and you can rely on this consistency that's coming from your marketing. Now, when like you can over time branch out into other niches.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with people who've tried to do it from the beginning and they can't keep anything straight.
Too much.
Yeah. It's too much. So the way that I look at it is like, I want you to dominate one niche and then over time we can add two.
Mm-hmm.
It would be like, would you be interviewing me if I was just a general business coach?
No.
Exactly. Right. And so the fact that I am niche down and my expertise and my services and my message and everything is really niche down into 6-figure agents to 7 figures,
mm-hmm,
makes me relevant to certain things and certain people and not relevant to others. And that's okay.
Right. So when you're, let's talk about the growth of followers, because a lot of people get hung up on this. And they're like, I only have 200 people or I only have 300 people. How do I grow my audiences? And is it just organically going to grow because you're putting out more content, or is there a strategy behind growth?
Yes, there's both. So yes, the higher quality content that you create, the more likely that your audience is going to grow, right? Because people land on our accounts all the time. First, the account needs to be set up correctly. So there's certain pieces that we like Facebook, for instance, right? Is your cover photo set up correctly? Do you have a mini funnel built out where you're capturing emails and nurturing people? Is your content correct? Is your bio set up correctly and very clear, right? So you can't just say like, I'm a real estate agent and I, a dog dad and I love to surf. Right? It's not enough, because you have 3 seconds when someone lands on your profile to decide whether they're going to stay or they're going to go. And people will not hit follow. I think a lot of people have this misconception that if your profile is really solid, that you'll get a follower. People are going to binge a couple pieces of content before they follow.
Yeah,
so totally. Everything has to be really, really tight and has to be set up really well to get someone from land, binge, follow, right? And so it has to be set up well and it has to be done strategically. So if that's set up really well and then we have, the content's really solid and it's that person's niche, they self-identify with like, yes, this is me, this person's for me. That's one way. So through hashtags, through the explore page, through regular things like that. There's also something called the triple threat method, where it allows you to go out to people who you believe are your ideal followers and actually start to engage with those people. It's a little bit more manual when we're talking organic. It's easier to do on Facebook than it is on Instagram. But I mean, I've been doing the triple threat method on and off for 5 years.
Mm.
And I have over 80,000 people who follow me on Instagram.
Wow. Huge.
And it doesn't happen overnight.
Yeah. It's a grind, right? Gotta make it happen.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't. And then you run paid traffic when you're ready. Mm-hmm. And then the paid traffic also adds to it.
Yeah.
And then you get PR or media attention. And then that adds to it, right?
Sure.
It's social media followers are really, it's a funny thing, because people will find you in so many different ways. And if you focus on the right things and you keep the quality very high and you differentiate yourself, then you'll do well.
Well, let me ask you this, just in terms of, I'm sure you got all kinds of clients that do different things, but do most of your clients just record on a phone and like a nice microphone and that's it? Or most of your clients do more high level stuff?
It doesn't perform as well.
Yeah,
the phone stuff works the best.
Yeah,
people, I think that we're at a point now where if it looks like an ad and it talks like an ad, we're not interested. Yeah. Which is again why I think some of this like old school real estate, like promote-y, look at me stuff is it turns people off. People used to just ignore it. Now I think it actively turns people off because that's just not what people are looking for. Yeah. People work with people they like now.
And
I think that it just really comes down to authenticity. And I think it's just, it's such a buzzword, but it also, you know, I think is sometimes misunderstood. Mm-hmm. You gotta just own your weird. Because people, other people, every single person is weird.
Right.
Like we're all our own brand of weird. And I think that when we show up that way, we give other people permission to just be themselves. Mm-hmm. And I really think that we're out of that era of like the super buttoned up blue pinstriped arms crossed real estate agent.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me ask you this on in terms of authenticity, because I think that's, you know, being imperfectly perfect is great. When you think about posting and just kind of trying to show who you are as a human being, do you recommend agents are kind of showing themselves on the human side, like
both
Asian and that kind of thing, and you know, and their hobbies and other stuff, or is it always mm-hmm. the focus on the niche? A little bit.
No.
Of
So the personal content, personal beliefs, personal philosophy, personal story.
Yeah.
Personal content is a third of what needs to be on there. Because again, how can someone know you and like you and trust you if they don't know anything about you?
Right.
I literally have people who I have never met before in my life. I live on a tiny island now, so it doesn't happen here. But I'll be in like a grocery store in Houston, Texas. Never been to Houston before. And someone will come up to me in a grocery store and talk to me about my cats.
Wow. That's crazy.
And like, they'll be like, oh my gosh, like you're a crazy cat lady. And I'm a crazy cat lady. Like, I think that we are meant to be friends. And, you know, it's just one of those, it's this element of approachable celebrity that we're creating. Right. You don't want to be Brad Pitt where people are afraid to come up to you because it's this unapproachable thing.
Yeah.
You want people to feel like you're their friend, even if you've never met them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Love it. When you started talking at the very beginning of our session and you said, you know, the difference between attraction and chasing an attraction, immediately, I don't know why my mind went here, but I was thinking about like a typical bar scenario where guys are running around trying to, you know, get girls' numbers or vice versa, you know, and it's this very awkward, weird thing, you know, and then the difference between, you know, just being attractive and people wanting to come and get your phone number, what a different kind of situation.
And what a power dynamic shift.
Right. Well, totally. Yeah, exactly. You're in control, not out of control.
Well, and I think that's we can use the same analogy to like articulate something else. There's so many people in real estate who are literally walking up to a strange woman or man in a bar and saying, "Will you marry me?"
Right? Yeah.
They're not building any relationship. They're not building any rapport. They're not going on any dates. They're not building a relationship. They're just, here's a picture of my head and call me.
Yes. Right.
And that doesn't work anymore.
No. There is it's a great analogy to what you're talking about. I think it's spot on. Yeah. It's amazing. Jess, I could listen to you all day, but I know you're super busy. How do people find out more about you, what you're doing, and maybe be coaching you or your books or all your stuff?
Yeah. So Instagram is a great place. I'm just at Jess Lenevelle on Instagram. My Facebook group, it's a little longer. Maybe you can put it in the show notes. It's okay. The Listings Lab Method for Real Estate Agents. There's like 34,000 agents in there. We are constantly dropping trainings and value and all kinds of stuff in there every day. I think those are probably the two best things. If you want to listen to me talk for a couple hours, my book, I recorded it myself. You get sick of my voice. It's called More Money, Less Hustle, Becoming the Seven-Figure Real Estate Agent. So you can buy the book on Amazon, or it's on Audible.
Beautiful. Love it. I love talking to you. You're a wealth of knowledge and I always learn so many things. Jess, thank you so much. for being
Thanks
on.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Guys, if you liked listening to Jess and you liked the program, always hit that like and subscribe button. We really appreciate it and love your review as well. And again, thank you so much.
If you liked this program, please subscribe and leave a review. And if you would like to explore our coaching platform, please check out www.erealestatecoach.com for 2 free weeks of coaching. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode of the eRealEstate Coach Podcast.